Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, we continue going through season two of Iron Fist with episodes 4, 5, and 6, and only episodes 4, 5, and 6. But there's so much to cover, it's going to take up the whole show. The Iron Fist After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
My fist, your face. I almost talked over the line that I wanted to come in on. Welcome to the Iron Fist After Show. I am Christian Platt, and we are back to talk about episodes 4, 5, and 6. And as I said in the intro, only episodes 4, 5, and 6. We talked about 1, 2, and 3 earlier in the week, and we will talk about 7, 8, and 9 on Wednesday. But this is tonight, joined as always by Zia Anderson.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us for the first time, Emmanuel Wright.
Hey, what's up?
Thank you so much for joining us, Emmanuel. We appreciate having you. We're putting our panel together. It's sort of like putting together the Defenders. You don't have everybody all at once. It's piece by piece. And, you know, I think we're going to do one show where we have all four of us. But we'll get to it. Don't worry. Emmanuel, since you weren't here the last time, I wanted to give you a minute to give your overall thoughts on season two versus season one. And remember, we can tell the truth. You say how much you like, just because I probably like it a little more than a human should. I know Zia enjoyed it. If you didn't like it, feel free to say that, because there's probably going to be people in the chat who are going to agree with you.
Okay, well, first off, right off the bat, I appreciate that they shortened the season length on this.
Yeah.
I was very appreciative of the 10 episodes. The episode length of the past season was just too long. I kind of just fell off towards the end of it. I'm not really a fan of the Iron Fist. He just makes too many mistakes. He's constantly losing in fights. Like, the rest of the Defenders, they don't really lose in fights. They lose in fights, but they always find some way to get past it easily. Like,
yeah, I would say Jessica loses some fights, but is able to then figure out a way to come back, yeah.
She's going to come back hard, fiercer than ever, and Danny Rand just has so many moments of, oh, I don't know what to do, and Colleen's like, come on, buddy, I'm your cheerleader. And I just find myself looking at his villains and being like, I like your style. Like, this scene. And Davos, I'm like, yeah, man, go take out crime, man. Yeah, go ahead, kill him, man. Get him off the street. Like, I agree with him more than I agree with Danny. But through and through, I appreciated the season. I wouldn't say I'm like just big on Danny Rand, but the Defenders, especially Luke Cage, shouts out to him. That's my big homie right there. But just in comparison to the two seasons, though, I appreciate Ward's acting in this season. Ward really just came.
I would say he definitely stepped it up from this season compared to last year. You know, also he was a far less sympathetic person in season one.
Yeah.
And I think that I think his name is Thomas Pelfrey. He's really stepped it up this year. And both he and Joy, I think. Well, Joy, you don't sympathize with her, but there's more to her.
There's
character
more dynamic to the whole.
Yeah. No, yeah. I definitely agree. And we talked about this in our last episode. The 10-episode length, I think, is perfect, not just for Iron Fist. I think for all these Netflix shows. Luke Cage season 2 and definitely season 1, I would have loved 10 episodes. Very few times am I like, oh, I want more than 13 episodes. But to your point about Davos, it's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, sort of like with Bushmaster in season 2 of Luke Cage and Killmonger in Black Panther, there's sort of like these guys are like, okay, they're right to a point. There's something about them where they're like, if you just write out one sentence of what you want to do, yes, it's right. But then they all kind of had tactics that you're like, well, no, not that. It's a little too far, you know? So, like, Bushmaster, he was like, yeah, I just want everything to be better, but I'm going to kill everybody who gets in my way. Davos is like, yeah, I want all crime to be gone, and by that I mean, you know, basically everyone in New York. So he, like, takes it too far, you know? And also the simple fact that, as Z and I were discussing on Twitter earlier, he has a point, as we see in the flashbacks, as to whether or not he didn't really lose that fight to Danny. And I, you know, his father stopped, declared Danny a winner. So it's like a boxing match where the, you know, there's not really a winner, but then the officials, you know, do a points and they're like, okay, so Davos, you're the loser just because somebody has to lose. And Danny, you go ahead and you fight the dragon. So he has a point, but it is definitely misplaced anger. Is that your stance on Davos?
That's what I said. Basically, to me, it's misplaced anger, and that is not Danny's problem. That's your problem, Davos. Sorry that your father did that to you, but again, not Danny's problem. He is the Iron Fist. You're going to have to deal with it, buddy. My problem with Davos is that he is far too whiny. With Bushmaster, I actually empathize with Bushmaster. I liked Bushmaster.
Oh, I love Bushmaster.
No, a lot in the cage.
Yeah, and by the end of the series, I liked him more than Luke.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. And we talked about this on Marvel TV Weekly, which Z and I do. I feel like season 3 of Luke Cage should be about Bushmaster has to come and, you know, knock Luke Page down a couple notches because mm-hmm. he's obviously, you know, gotten a little big for his britches. But that's a different show. Anyway, let us know in the chat what you think. And there's already a great conversation in the chat that people are wondering who would win in a fight, Davos or Bushmaster. I would say Bushmaster.
Yeah,
look, Davos would definitely get in a couple of good punches, but only because he has an Iron Fist.
Right.
And when he doesn't have the Iron Fist, he'd probably get in like one kick, you know. But yeah, and Aunt Barrow says Davos's mom is the worst. But that's really what it comes down to. There's some mommy issues and some daddy issues. You know, Davos has a lot of issues. Danny's essentially his brother.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's his brother so far as like, well, you took the thing that I was told I was supposed to get. This is my thing. And so obviously that leads to some problems, which we'll talk about as we go through these three episodes. Episode 4 starts with kind of a really interesting sort of brief flash forward where we see Walker / Mary just really taking down Danny, which is where we get to towards the end of the episode. And I mean, that's it's very interesting because you're just like, oh, she has really planned for this.
Yeah.
And you can see that the Walker personality is a lot different from Mary. Yeah. What did you think about that when you saw, you know, it's sort of at the end of the episode when you really see the whole sequence. What did you think about that, Emmanuel?
With Walker, she's just like a cold-blooded killer, like all about her work, all about making the mission accomplished. But with the opposite side of Mary, it's just like this scared, almost childlike human being. And I like her for that. So I felt for her. Anytime Walker was in the scene, I found myself looking at the TV even closer. Like, okay, what is she going to do? What is she going to say? What's her next move? So I really do like Walker in this episode.
Yeah, and as we started to talk about last week, we start to see the multiple personalities. But that's not what it's called. What is it called?
Dissociative identity disorder.
There was someone in the chat last week who was like, yeah, because that's what it's called. But that's not what I remember it as, because it was always called, well, it used to be called schizophrenia, which is just completely wrong. So I'm learning too. We're just trying to get the right terminology. But we were talking about sort of the revelation for who Mary is. And so we have an image that Steve in the booth pulled before the show. And she is the character Typhoid Mary, who's best known from Daredevil. But glad that they found a home for her in here. And we'll talk about her as we go throughout the course of the entire season. But this is the first time where we see her in action. Zia, your thoughts on Mary in this episode in particular and sort of as we were building up to this?
Well, I personally like both Walker and Mary. For some reason, it's hard not to.
Well, sure. Mary's very sweet.
Well, not even just Mary, but Walker as well.
Walker's so cool.
She's cool. And not only that, I mean, she's just doing it as a job. I don't think that she's a bad person. There's you just get this feeling that she would do the right thing if it really came down to it.
Without giving anything away, there's a point later in the season where there's a question for Walker, and she's like, yeah, that job's over. I'm doing a different one now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they sort of question what she's doing.
Personal attachment.
Yeah, it's like, I'm doing a job.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And I like her for that. I like that she, that's what it is. I like that she's very level, for the most part, besides, you know, going back and forth between identities.
Just, you know.
She's very level-headed. There's no emotion.
Yeah, I would just imagine she wouldn't do well somewhere like South Florida where there's like sudden rain showers and then it stops. So she'd go back and forth a lot. So you got to be careful.
Be a bad time for her.
Well, the episode starts where Davos and Joy are continuing to try and figure out what's going on with Walker. And, you know, Davos has to go head off to check out the sisters, the Crane sisters. And so she gets to the bottom of what this is, and it kind of reveals all of that. So I think it's interesting that sort of Joy and Mary kind of build this, well, Joy and Walker, technically, they're sort of building this foundation where it would make sense for Joy to be like, yeah, we can't have you on this job anymore. In fact, logically, that is probably what she should have done. You know, yeah. She should have been like, you've given away the surveillance photos. I'm pretty sure we don't need you on this job anymore. Do you think that maybe she was just too scared to fire her?
That's the only thing I can think of, because I was so surprised that she was, she literally asked her, so you think you can get this done? Okay, great. I was like, what? Joy, what? Are you crazy?
Yeah, yeah. So, Emmanuel, I don't know much about your background. Are you familiar with this character? Do you read comics, or are you just sort of finding all this for the first time?
I watch it on Netflix.
So yeah, no,
I
that's great.
All the Defenders on Netflix.
But see, that's what I like. Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that sometimes when I'm like, oh, I think I know who this is, it's probably more fun when
you're I have no idea.
Yeah, just going in with like nothing.
I just watch it. Like, yo, who's this girl?
Yeah.
Oh, she's beating up Danny Rand. How'd she do that?
Yeah.
Like, wow, he lost another fight to her. On a subway,
yeah,
with a needle. Come on, like in my mind, I always go like, if this was another defender in the situation, would she have won this fight?
Well, considering that she watched him and studied him, if she'd done it to another defender,
I think I think she could have gotten Daredevil.
Daredevil, yes.
Because if you just watched, like, if you know what his moves are, you know, you can probably surprise him. Although he does have that sense where you can't really sneak up on him. That makes it tough. Luke, I don't think so. Jessica, maybe. If she stumbles out of the bar into the subway.
Right.
Maybe. But I almost feel like getting drunk makes Jessica stronger.
Yeah, like.
It does.
And there's a little tidbit that somebody wrote about online that I noticed when I watched this. As a New Yorker, yes, that is not a New York City subway. That is actually the PATH train that goes to New Jersey. They did a nice job to pretend, but I was just like, that's not a subway. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, it's like when you live in L.A. and they film stuff here, you're like, that's not what that is. So people were writing about that online. But it was a great sequence. And I just sort of, you know, love the Danny's phone getting smashed because he's like, I'm trying to get help. But nope, Danny can't even call for help. So another big thing in this episode is this sort of the Hancock 212 canister. And, you know, Danny tries to get there, gets there after Davos. But the cool thing for the nerds and the comic book fans of us is when we see that body in there, it's got the yellow mask on. It's got the Iron Fist mask on. So I'm very excited about that. And it also had the Iron Fist tattoo. Talk sort of about your reaction to that, Zia. What you thought about when you saw that there's an Iron Fist body in this shipping container.
That completely got me because I was not expecting that. I spent the entire time wondering, what is Davos bringing in? What is Davos bringing in? Totally not what I was expecting. Really, really thought it was cool. And I was excited to see the mask because I was kind of hoping that Danny would get it and wear it.
I'm still waiting. I know. Like, we talked about how in the first episode he covers the bottom half of his face, and I'm like, no, you got to wear the top half. You got to wear the yellow mask. But it was very cool to see. And yes, there in the comics, he's not the first Iron Fist. You know, he's not the first person on Earth to be Iron Fist.
How many Iron Fists are there?
Well, that is a topic for debate. Depending, sort of newer history, his father actually had been an Iron Fist before him. That's not something we're going to see in the TV show. But it's something that we will talk more about when we get to the end of the season. We'll talk more about that. Go ahead.
We have a good debate going in chat.
Excellent.
About,
I love that.
About who would last against Mary. Some are saying she cheated. War Hero said that 99 said she cheated.
Okay.
How did she cheat?
Well, she just surprised. She didn't cheat. She just got the drop on her.
Yeah. I think he's talking about with the syringe, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing I'm thinking of.
You know, hey, it works.
She doesn't have superpowers. I mean,
War Hero 99 says Luke never because his skin is indestructible, but Seb Russ says even Luke has vulnerable lungs. Gas him and he'll go down. Totally yeah, you can
knock him
that.
Out. Yeah, yeah but good luck trying to drag him.
You like, try hold to, him down.
Yeah, you have like 10 people try and drag Luke out of the subway.
Seriously, yeah. That would be...
That's a, but it's a great point. And then this is the episode where we first see Misty in this series. One of the one of the best parts of this season. Talk about seeing Misty. Were you surprised? Had you seen the commercials for the season, Emmanuel, or did you know that Misty was going to be in the season, or were you surprised to have her show up?
I kind of assumed it,
yeah,
just because they were doing all the crossovers between Iron Fist and Luke Cage. I just kind of assumed that she was going to be in it.
And since Claire's MIA, they got to have somebody come in.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So when I saw her, it wasn't even much of a shock. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I've seen her interact with these characters before, so welcome.
Right, yeah, exactly. And she's, of course, working the gang angle throughout the course of the episode. And, my favorite thing she says is, what, you guys are going to walk right by me? You know, and it's like, hey, we're in the middle of something. But
like, we can't stay. She's like, excuse me?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I loved it.
It's like, I'm still the police.
Oh, right. Yeah. When she comes across a gang member, she's like, I am NYPD. Yeah. And he's just like, are you really? Like, it was almost like, I don't know if you are.
Part.
You know what I mean?
And she was like, I will shoot you.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
And like, if you try and shoot me, like, you're going to have cops on you. Like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm glad to see that Misty is on the case. And obviously, as we'll talk about in a little bit, there's a lot of great Misty and Colleen in this season, which, you know, there are some of us hoping that we get our Daughters of the Dragon spinoff series at some point, even if it's a mini series. But it'd be great to see the two of them do more. And, so, you know, it's a pretty safe bet that we would see them turn up in future Marvel series, whether there's more Iron Fist after this or not. Anyway, so let's sort of talk about kind of the big ritual that happens here and why Davos had to meet with the Crane sisters, who we'll really get to know in episode 6. And we'll talk about it then. So there is this ritual where Davos gets the tattoo from the dead body, and then they put the serpent tattoo on his back and all this. And rightly so, they don't spend a ton of time on this ritual. It is just sort of this, like, crazy, like, wait, what's happening here? What's going on? And then it pretty much seems to be over because, you know, Davos basically takes Danny's chi. And this was one of those ones which I talked about. I was originally going to just watch 4 episodes and stop. And then the way that this episode ended, I thought about it over the course of, like, making dinner, putting my son to bed and all this stuff. And I was like, no, I got to watch the rest. So, like, I had to see what happened next. But, Emmanuel, give us your thoughts about watching sort of this ritual, this whole thing that Davos had engineered on how to basically take back what he considers his birthright from Danny.
Hey, he knew what he wanted, and he got it.
Yeah.
So, shouts out to Davos. he's a man of his word.
That's right.
I mean, he has bad intentions, but... I was behind. I'm Team Davos. I mean, during the whole thing, I'm like, yeah, Davos, get your powers, man. They were your. I mean, they weren't anybody's in the first place. I mean,
they're the dragon's powers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at the dragon.
It's not like your rightful powers. I mean, yeah, sure, Danny had them, but now you got them. So, like, stop. I just wish he would stop worrying or just crying about the past and just focus on the future. I feel like he could be a better character / villain by just focusing on the present and the future, but he just has his past that he's so caught up on. I think he could just be more strong.
Yeah, so a couple of fun Easter eggs about this episode. The title, Target Iron Fist, as I mentioned in our first show, the title of every episode comes from a title of an Iron Fist comic. This is from Iron Fist number 13. There was actually a comic book story where Davos stole Danny's power. That's actually Iron Fist 14, which happens to be the first appearance of Sabretooth, popular X-Men villain. And also, there were a few appearances where this happened. But the Crane sisters are working from the spell to get the tattoo from an Iron Fist corpse. And this is something that, if you read The Immortal Iron Fist, which was by Ed Brubaker, you're going to find that, in answer to your question, Danny is the 66th person to carry the mantle of the Iron Fist. This is not in the universe of the Netflix series, but this is in the comics. I don't think they're going to have there be 66, but we know there's at least one because there was a body.
I wonder why they chose 66.
It's a good question.
You what's know? Up with that number?
You know, that's writer's prerogative, six, probably. Six, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It could be like just 1 6 away. Yeah.
Right.
So in any case, that pretty much brings us to episode 5. Heart of the Dragon, which the title of which is from Marvel Premiere number 16, which is the second appearance of Danny Rand, just to get our little tidbit in there. So Davos has the powers and he attacks the Golden Tigers. But let's talk about the look and the first time that you see Davos really use his red Iron Fist. Zia, what did you think when you saw Davos basically taking it for a test drive?
I was like, oh, it's red.
Because it's cooler when it's red.
So much better.
It's definitely better.
It was. That was literally my, I think I said it out loud, actually, on the couch. And Nick next to me was like, whoa. Because I was like, it's red.
Yeah.
And it definitely looks cooler. And then you see it's his second fist and you're like, oh, he gets two? How does he get two?
Yeah, but we don't see that for a little while, the second one. So that's exactly the sort of thing we try to avoid. But that's all right. When you do see that he has two, yeah, I know. That's a great reveal when we have it. And then in the chat, I think it was earlier, Kristen Jackson asked if it was established that it was red in the comic books. And not that I remember. Often when Danny used the Iron Fist, you didn't always get the glow from it. It would be sort of like almost like a little bit of like a mist surrounding it. Sometimes you would just see him punching something. But when it would glow, it was usually the same yellow that Danny had. As far as I know, there can be exceptions to the rule, but I wanted to address that. So, Emmanuel, you're still Team Davos.
I think there has to
be a point where you might have to notch back the support a little bit, but that's not this episode. This episode, he's still like, he's going around, he's beating up,
he's doing what he wants.
He's beating up gangsters, and you know, it's just like, all right.
He's not asking people, oh, what should I do here? Yeah. Oh, how should I? Oh, where do I go for
this?
That's
because he has no conscience and he's a psychopath.
Fair.
But he makes it work.
And he never has to find his chi.
And he has that's confidence. True. Yeah, he never has a moment of, wait a second, pause real quick.
Hang on while I get my chi. That's true. But yeah, there is definitely the psychopath factor. That has a lot to do with it. And then this is where we get to see someone who spends most of the series with us, Chen Wu, who was Ho's right-hand man, and he's now basically Davos's body man driving him around. But I think initially it's because he just doesn't want to get killed.
Right.
He sort of falls into the job.
He has to do
it. You know, he's
it.
Like, I'm going to do this so
you
I don't
say
die.
No.
But, you know,
he's a survivor.
Eventually gets a little bit comfortable in that job, but he's basically there. So in any case, we also get to see Walker. I was going to say Mary. Walker films Danny on that park bench so that Joy sees it. And what do you think about Joy's reaction? You know, I mean, it's interesting.
She felt bad.
She felt bad, but it's a little late for that, isn't it?
It's a little too late for that. She was feeling bad as she was going through with it. And I think that she just needed them to feel as bad as she felt, which is ridiculous. I'm just going to go out there and say it. Again, like a big girl, like an adult, deal with your feelings, please, instead of doing it to a very nice person that didn't do anything to you on purpose. And it's so incredible to see the change between Joy and Ward. I actually really like Ward this season.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's still very flawed, but he's a lot more likable because he's at least trying.
He's really trying.
And Joy isn't trying anything.
At all.
No.
Emmanuel, this probably doesn't help your overall impression of the Iron Fist when that gang of kids led by Rhino drag Danny.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to sell him for money.
And he's just like, no, please don't.
He's like, I have more money. Which is like, all right, look, you don't have the Iron Fist. You're in a bad way. And he does have a lot of money.
He gets extorted so many times.
Yeah, he's willing to extort himself.
Always getting
and
extorted.
They're like, nah. He's like, he just should have shown them his Amex black card, you know, and been like, go ahead, take it, buyers. But it's no, they're not interested.
Christian, quickly in the chat. Christian Jackson said Davos was by far better with the fist than Danny.
Oh, so by far.
I have to agree
that Davos probably spent a lot of time before the fight with Danny figuring out what he would do when he had the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And I think that Davos is probably just better trained. I do think that Danny could have won that fight that we see in the flashback. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't officially win it, I agree. But I do think that just being smart enough to have him look into the sun, it's like, look, that's not cheating.
Absolutely
that's
not. That's just using your surroundings.
You know, yeah, it's using your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And Davos should have been better than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I do think he was prepared for what he would do with the fist if he ever got it.
Oh, yeah.
Old school Danny was a better Danny than new school Danny.
So flashback Danny.
Flashback Danny was a killer, man. He had that. Oh, I'm going to get you. But now, what happened, Danny?
I just think he has too much conflict. I think that's Danny's problem. He just has too much conflict inside of himself, and he's never settled, and he's never sure what path he's taking.
Right, and there's obviously some conflict with him just about having the Iron Fist in general,
right.
So it's sort of like this mantle that he earned, but now he doesn't know if he's really worthy of it. And that's a theme that goes really through the whole series, the season anyway. Anyway, so Colleen and Misty go to find him, and they do get Danny back. And then basically Colleen and Misty then go on and figure out that Mary/Walker is working with Joy. And we really get to see in the flashback what we had talked about, Davos's relationship with his mother, Priya, I think is how you say it, not to be confused with the Prius. thank you for laughing, sort of. I think that tells you that's a great scene. Just not even like, oh, that's good for a comic movie. That's just some great acting, sort of the two of them with the door in between. You see her, she like thinks she should open it, but she's like, no, I can't. I don't know. Tell me what you thought about that scene, Zia, just sort of watching Davos, you know, disappoint his mommy.
It's slightly infuriating, even though I do get it, especially when you're raised in that environment. To you, that's normal, and you still love that person that's caring for you and raising you. And so it makes sense that he loves her and he wants to make her proud. But the what she does to him, it's hard to watch him still try for her.
Yeah.
I'm like, why have you not pushed her off a cliff and got on with your life?
A long time ago.
A long time ago, yes.
Like, you're better than this. You got powers. You're doing your thing. Stop thinking about your mom so much. Yeah. Like, that happened in the past. Move on.
Agreed.
Yeah, I guess it's just so tough, you know? I mean, it's funny because Danny, obviously, his parents are such an important part of his life because, you know, they died in a plane crash that sent him to Kunlun. But Davos had them up until the point that he goes to, you know, go get Danny in New York. And now he's sort of dealing with this idea that they're gone. He should kind of be relieved that his parents are gone. But I think the problem is really, like, this is the moment where he could show them. Like, no, they don't use the term in the show, but in the comics, he's the Steel Serpent. So he's like, I'm the Steel Serpent now. Look what I have. I have the Iron Fist. But now he can't even show them. So what's it worth? Is it really worth it, Davos, if you can't show your parents that you're the Iron Fist?
Yes, it is. Forget your parents, man.
Clean up New York.
Clean it up, man. I do also like the contrast between, like, love and hate. Danny's coming from, like, a loving environment. Davos coming from a hate environment, yeah. So it's like hate versus love.
I like
hate.
Yeah, look, sometimes hate works. You know, it's hate like do the right thing. Radio Raheem has love and hate on his two hands, and you know, obviously, you can get things done. Interesting thing is that Davos's mother is somebody that, as far as myself or the website I use for my Easter eggs, Den of Geek, we don't seem to think that his mother's ever shown up in the comics. So I like when we get these additional bits of background. There's some other things later in the season that are happening for the first time in the TV show, which I think is great. Super nerd little moment, but maybe people in the chat appreciated this. It was definitely something that stood out to me. Misty identifies as a 616 on the police radio as a possible suspect with abilities. 616 is the dimensional numerical designation of the main Earth that we see in the Marvel Universe. So sometimes we refer to that 616. So, probably not worth me using all this time and explaining it, but that's one of those like, but it's just for us. It's not really for either of you, but I was super excited. Anyway, anybody in the chat, let us know what you thought about episodes 4 and 5, your thoughts on Davos and his family. Let's move it along to, of these episodes, this was my favorite. This has one of the best fight scenes, which we'll talk about in a moment, episode 6. The dragon dies at dawn. is the title of this episode, which is actually, it comes from Iron Fist number 9. So you see, they all come from something. Let's talk about this episode, basically. And this has the sequence where Misty and Colleen, they go to the tattoo parlor owned by the Crane sisters. And Zia, because this is a female-centric scene, I figured I'll start with you. Let's get your thoughts on that sequence as it plays out, basically, from beginning to end of Misty and Colleen sidling up to the Crane sisters.
Oh, that's my favorite. First of all, I love watching them work together. Second of all, watching the Crane sisters be very sassy with them. I was like, oh, you guys are messing up. I know what's coming. This is exciting. And I like seeing Colleen being a little bit rusty because she hasn't been fighting as much. So I like, and then you see her get into it and you see how much she enjoys it. Yeah. I was like, that's right.
this is the woman who used to go fight in a cage for fun.
Yes.
So obviously that's still in her somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's why she took the retirement.
Yeah.
But I did like the way that they kind of divided up the Crane sisters, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Colleen's like, I'll take two. Misty will take one in the other room.
It's perfect.
But the Colleen fighting the two of them, it was something that the actress Jessica Henwick had tweeted sort of at the beginning of the season. And there's just like something about episode 6, and I was just like, oh, that sounds like there's gonna be something good. So I built up my excitement for it. But Emmanuel, what did you think about watching Misty and Colleen take on these Crane sisters?
That was a cool fight scene. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed sitting back. The Crane sisters have some cool moves.
I kind of like that.
They got jiggy with it.
Yeah, right? That they're not just like just sassy like Zia said. They actually like, you know, they're, if a regular cop and her friend came in, they probably could have knocked them out. But
definitely.
But you got Bionic Cop and super Kung Fu Master.
I sometimes could beat Danny Rand, Kung Fu Master.
Oh yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, but no, I enjoyed the fight scene. The Crane sisters, they got busy. They got busy. I felt that at the end of the fight scene, they agreed to help out like way too quick, though. I don't know. They kind of went from like, no, we're not going to help you out.
Well,
we will.
It's a great point, but I think it's the same mentality as we talked about with Walker. It's like, well, look, that was a job. We got paid to do that. You want to like now have us do another job where we redo the same thing with the same special metal ball? All right, sure. I think because for some reason, I guess Misty could probably send them to jail on something.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, I guess we want to stay out of jail. So sure, we'll help you. But I know what you mean. I think that's sort of more a product of the fact that it's a TV show and they want it to move along.
Oh, they want to move along?
Yeah. Like, okay, and you don't want to have them like, no, we're not going to do it. And then like 10 more minutes trying to convince them. But you're absolutely right. I know. I did think it was a little fast. I'm like, all right, I get it. So that's interesting. And I don't know. Let us know in the chat what you thought of Colleen's fight. And obviously Misty's involved in the fight too, but it's really Colleen's two-on-one fight is where it's at.
And, Black Magic 99
says
Misty isn't in the same class of fighter, but she can definitely take some punishment. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Misty, before she had the arm, you know, obviously she had plenty of skills, as we saw in Luke Cage season 1. It's just, you know, it's a little unfair. All of a sudden she has the arm. So,
but I like their differences in styles. Obviously, Colleen, very fast, technical, kung fu, clearly. And Misty's more of a brawler, which I appreciate a lot, too.
More Luke Cage.
Yeah. I love it. Personally think that's awesome. And I think they work really well together for that reason.
I do think it's a great team up. And, you know, as we talked about, actually, I think we talked about this on Marvel TV Weekly. You know, in the comics, Danny and Misty are actually together. Danny and Colleen aren't really a thing.
No.
As I mentioned, Colleen dates Cyclops from the X-Men, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh. I have so fun many comics fact. To catch up on.
Yeah. Well, just to watch Danny, read
Colleen
some of.
Colleen and Cyclops?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Right?
Look, when your girlfriend, Jean Grey, when she dies, like every 2 years, you know, you gotta keep your options open. But
that's
anyway,
fair.
So it's Turn interesting. One. It's interesting to watch how Misty, you know, sort of interacts with different people, and I really like the way that they use her on this. Well, on all these Marvel series, Simone Messick, the actress who plays her, I think is great. And, you know, I'm just glad that we've seen so much of her in these different series. And who knows, maybe we'll see her in Daredevil Season 3 as well. There's certainly plenty of room for a police officer to show up in that season.
If she's still a police officer, we don't know if she takes the job yet.
Well, yeah, but that's, again, for the end of the season.
I would assume she would, though.
You would think. But
I mean, in all of these situations, she's helping.
There could come a point, though, where it would make sense for Misty that being, you know, confined by the rules of the police department, that maybe becoming, you know, a private detective or a bounty hunter or some, you know, someone for hire, a Heroes for Hire, a show that we should also get, by the way. But one day, I like to think that we'll get all of those things. Anyway, as our time is starting to dwindle, I wanted to bring it back a little bit to Walker, who this whole idea of, well, I did that job already. So she gets out of Misty's handcuffs, and she says she'll help Danny and try and talk Davos down. But she actually is really going to kill him. Talk a little bit about the way that Mary / Walker is kind of basically playing Danny in this situation, Emmanuel.
Well, first of all, she realizes that you can't just talk Davos down. You can't just reason with the man.
You do need to kill him.
You have to kill him. So she was right. And Danny wouldn't understand that because Danny doesn't like to kill people. So she had to lie. So, good move, Walker. Good move.
Zia, what did you think about basically...
100% like, ditto. Agree, yes. Yeah.
So, Davos and Chen Wu, they go about killing members of the Golden Tiger Triad, and they start to get interested in Rhino's gang. And this is that idea that Davos is going to train Rhino's gang and have his little army. And they want to call him Shifu, which that throws me off because to me, Master Shifu is Dustin Hoffman's little rat guy in Kung Fu Panda. And I didn't know that that was a thing. I was just like, wait a minute, that's Master Shifu. So, yeah, that's how much I know about Kung Fu. Iron Fist and pandas. That's about it, basically. and the song Kung Fu Fighting that we used the last time. But anyway, what do you think about Davos trying to, you know, have this army? And if you're going to have an army, is that group of kids really who you're going to pick?
No, it's the wrong group.
Yeah. There's, I mean, just like kids playing basketball in a playground like a block away from them, that's going to be a better army. Don't you think, Zia?
Agreed. Yeah. No, these kids are a mess. Yeah,
especially BB. You know, I mean, the fact that he talks to Colleen as much and is a source of information for her. Clearly, this is not your army.
This is not an army.
Bad move.
Not a good one.
Joy and Ward also try to talk in this episode. And there's a lot of dealing sort of with the fact that, you know, their father was alive. Joy didn't know. Ward really felt like he had to protect her and legitimately had to protect her because the hand would have killed her, killed him, killed everyone. But also just this idea that, you know, Harold was just such a terrible person. Emmanuel, it was in Joy's best interest what Ward did, right?
Yeah, Ward protected her, and the fact that Joy can't see this. I mean, Joy knows that he's a bad guy now, though, right? Or, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
She does, but I think she maybe doesn't want to believe
it. She has just nostalgia or something like that.
Yeah, she has nostalgia.
Or she just...
And then she had to lose them all over again.
Right. Which...
Yeah, which I think it's just the idea like, oh my God, my dad's alive. Oh my God, he's a terrible person.
Your dad was horrible.
Yeah.
And you know this. Why do you want him back?
I can understand there being feelings and being angry about it, but also understanding, all right, I'm mad that you didn't tell me. I'm going to try to understand it. Let's talk about it. But that's not the way the Meacham family works.
And hasn't she seen that no matter what flaws Ward has, he always, always, always takes care of her and tries to do what's best for her?
Well, I think that's the problem. She doesn't want to always be taken care of.
Deal with it. He's a big brother. At least you have someone.
In our final couple minutes here, let's talk about this fight that Danny and Davos have, the non-Iron Fist Danny and the Steel Serpent Iron Fist having Davos. And this is when we find out that Davos has two fists. Zia jumped the gun, but only by a little bit.
It's
a really cool moment because Walker's like, yeah, I figured out how to get you. We're going to hug and get him. Great. I got his hand. He's got another one.
Hand.
Which I did not expect that. No. That was actually really cool.
Yeah.
Since you're all Team Davos, talk about that fight and How glad were you when he broke Danny's leg?
Oh, I loved it. Oh. And it just reassured the fact that you don't need those gang members, man. You could do this by yourself. You don't need them. Just do you, man. Stop worrying about everybody else. Once again, Danny lost. Danny loses so many fights, man. I almost, anytime I see Danny about to get into a fight, I look at it like, is he going to win this one? I don't know.
Hey, but remember how he took out a truck in the first episode? So that truck didn't have a chance. He just got the truck.
Really got it.
So maybe it's inanimate. Oh, and the door?
Inanimate objects. He got the door?
So you know what? Inanimate objects. He can
That's
get.
What he's taking down. Yeah. But when I saw them going at it, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to lose this fight. That's the thing. Danny's the only character who I could actually look at him before a fight and be like, you're going to lose this. There's no other defender where I'm like, you're going to lose this. Everybody else, I'm like, yeah, he's going to get him. But not Danny. So it's a weird feeling to watch a superhero show knowing that your superhero is about to lose. It's just a weird feeling to keep. It's almost like masochism. Like, yeah, let me root for this guy who's about to lose and then try and talk somebody into some better way of living. Like, yeah, he's like the vegetarian of superheroes. Like, nah, let me just go have my little portions.
might go far enough and he might actually be vegan, you know?
Yeah, he's vegan.
Vegan superhero.
So, basically, what we will talk about in our next episode, which will be Wednesday at 10 o'clock Pacific, we'll talk about episode 7, 8, and 9. We'll talk about where this continues. So, Danny has a broken leg here at the end of the episode, and Walker, unfortunately for kind of everyone involved, reverts back to Mary. So she doesn't kill Davos. She doesn't help Danny take him in. She basically isn't good for anything in this instance. And this is the problem when you have the multiple dissociative disorder that I think I just misidentified yet again. But so we will talk more about that and everything to do with that in our next episode. But until then, you should know that in mere minutes, Zia and myself and our friend Amy will continue talking about Iron Fist on Marvel TV Weekly, which you can also watch archived if you're watching this archived. But we're going to be live in mere minutes, and we're going to talk about the whole season, all the spoilers and everything. But if you want to wait and watch with us, that'll be next Wednesday at 10 Pacific. But till then, you can find me at @ChristianDMZ. Zia, where do people find you?
Find me at Zia_Land. It's XIA_LAND.
And Emmanuel Wright, where do people find you?
Emmanuel C. Wright on all social medias.
I love the consistency there, and thanks so much for being here. And thanks to everybody in the chat, and we will definitely talk to you next Wednesday. Until then, we'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.